Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, God. Thank you. You may be seated. Praise God. Christmas is coming. My favorite time of the year. But what I like about Christmas is that you can celebrate when everybody starts celebrating. You know, like we had our Christmas program last Sunday. To me, I could be celebrating Christmas tonight. So probably after service, Sister Grant and I go out and eat a bite, and we'll celebrate Christmas. And when it's Thanksgiving, we celebrate all week. And when it's my birthday, we celebrate all week. When it's our wedding anniversary, we celebrate the week before, up to my birthday then, and then the week after. You know, so her birthday we celebrate all week long. You know, it sounds like that I do a lot of celebrating. I do. Yeah, I do. And I want to thank all of you for making many of these celebrations so wonderful. We've had a lot of gift cards given to us, and on my birthday, I went to Red Lobster, and first time I'd actually eaten lobster in a while, but I had lobster, and Sister Grant had some appetizer. We were trying to pay the bill with the, no, I'm just joking with you. I would never do her that way. Don't I have a sweetheart? Oh, I'll tell you. Yeah. Little Cole, Marvin Lana's son, he was sick today. I think he plays sick sometimes because Sister Grant keeps him. And he would look at me and says, Papa, Grandma's my sweetheart. That's what he says. No, she's my sweetheart. She is not your sweetheart. She's my sweetheart. I said, Cole, she's my sweetheart. Well, he had a magnifying glass, and he looked, and he says, oh, there's two grandmas. Yeah. I said, okay, one for you and one for me. He said, nope, nope, nope. He said, Papa, he said, if you don't stop, I'm going to put you in jail, close the door, lock it with the key, and throw the key away. That's what he told me. I said, oh, you wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, I would. Don't say she's your sweetheart anymore. I said, she's my sweetheart. Well, he came and got me by the hand, and I was in a recliner, and it wasn't far to our bedroom door. He says, that door over there, that's the jail. And you're going with me, and I'm going to lock the door, and I'm going to throw away the key. Well, he got me by the hand, started pulling me. Well, I just thought I don't know what I thought I was going to do, but nevertheless, I started crying. I mean, I really cried. I just really cried. And all of a sudden, he realized that, at least he thought he had taken it too far. And he says, hold it, hold it, hold it. Grandpa, he said, this is just a play game. It's not for real, you know. He didn't want to hug my neck. You know, Marvin, when Marvin married Lana, he was living with us. He lived with us a couple of years or so. And then prior to him coming to our place, Lana and her grandmother spent a lot of time together. And for us to all be together as a family now is an unbelievable experience. It's just unbelievable. It couldn't be any better for us. You know, I get to thinking about people. I see people and talk with people and people that can't get along with other people. I don't fully understand that. Even when there's when there's difficult issues, to not be able to just sit down and talk them out and work them out. And, you know, you see, in our congregation, we've had several people that have lost loved ones this year. Recently, Sister Janet George lost her youngest son. And Sister Parker, she's very close to Sister Lois, and she lost her mother. And then Brother Seidel has lost his father. You know, you just look at situations like this. Sister Sally Solberg lost her mother. And you know, you think back and, you know, you're barely young and then you're old. That may sound strange to some of you, but that's the way it is. And to spend all your life squabbling with someone, been out of shape. Why do you want to punish yourself like that? You know, you see these people on drugs and how they shoot their arms up and everything, and they got all these scars, and say, why do you want to punish yourself like that? Well, we just got started on it. And life, even though we live under the curse of sin, life was meant to be better for man than what man makes it for himself. No, really. So tonight, I just have a good number of things I want to talk about. So, if you pick the right scripture and you have the right title, you can do that. So, Ephesians 5:27. This is, and when Brother Leonardson gave that message and then gave that interpretation, you can't believe the feeling that I had that came over me because I knew what I was reading. Ephesians 5:27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. You know, Trinitarian told me one time that God was going to present a bride to his son, Jesus. I said, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus will present to himself a glorious church. Now notice what it says. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. And then he says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. If you don't love your wife, you're doing damage to yourself. You know what? You may say, oh, but you don't know my wife. Yeah, but you chose her. Don't even blame her. You were involved in that process. You voted for her. But when I think of the weddings that we've had, I don't know how many weddings I have performed. I know better than 370 weddings here at Calvary Gospel Church. Some of them were not for people in the church. Some for people that's moved on. Not long ago, I got a call from a couple, and they just talked to me and talked to me and talked to me, and they talked about their wedding and how beautiful it was, and I didn't know what to say because I didn't know who they were. Then I found out I'd performed the marriage. But it was like 40 years ago. How am I supposed to remember something that happened 40 years ago? Every now and then somebody come up to me and ask me some question about English or something, as if I'm supposed to know. You know, I've been speaking English for a long time. Some of it's Southern style, you know. That can get a little bit off base, you know. The one good thing about Southern, you can make up a word And it's a word. But at any rate, I said, look, I haven't had an English class for 57 years. How am I supposed to know that? Now, probably most of you wouldn't believe it, but I did make A's in English. I just never talked A's. I could write it out, punctuate it properly. But to speak it, what was I telling anyway? I already forgot what I was saying. Oh, not remembering the weddings. Yeah. You really thought, I had you on that one. You really thought I'd forgotten, had you? I did, Brother Mel. That's one time I actually did. But, you know, it's just so good to be a part of so many lives. Brother Thomas comes back from the General Conference and said, Brother Grant, I have never seen a minister like you, that everybody that I talk to claims that you are their very best friend. Then come Christmas time, you know, we've got cards all over the doors, and Sister Grant puts them all up, and we get 100-something cards every year. The man that served as the best friend in our wedding called me last year. And he said, hey, John, yeah, everybody okay up there? And I said, yeah. He said, well, he said, you know, of course, you know, Barb and I never send Christmas cards, he said. But you always send us one, and we haven't gotten it. And we just wonder what was wrong. I'm serious. My wife and I have had so many laughs about that. We haven't gotten one this year, but he has already. I think he has. But, of course, he's a tightwad. You know, the thing about it, I should be saying this because, you know, people download these messages. But I didn't call his name, so if he calls me and asks me, I said, did I say who that was? Nah. I'm just joking with you, but we do download, and we've had over 100,000 messages downloaded since we started. Isn't that great? It's so great. Praise God, praise God, praise God. The thing about it is, man has always been questing to stay young. And when you think of the bride of Christ without spot, or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I see these young ladies preparing for their wedding. They said, "No, we better wait 6 months. 4 months is not enough time to prepare for a wedding. It's not. Just go by your address and send out a few cards and come in here. That's all there is to it, you know." But they do all of this. I'm telling you, all of this stuff. Somebody's got to fix my hair. Somebody's got to do my nails. Somebody's got to do my toenails. You know, but nobody sees your feet. Oh, it's just got to be just right, you know. And then, 20 minutes later, it's all over. It's all over. Spent thousands of dollars. 20 minutes later, it's all over. Was it worth it? Oh, yes. It was worth it. Now, men don't look at it that way. Isn't that right, men? But aren't you glad that your bride looked beautiful on the wedding day? And I'm sure that Jesus Christ, when he looks at his bride today, and you know, when Paul's talking about the bride of Christ, he's talking about the way the bride looks today and the way that she will look come wedding day. You know, and I made this statement before in a message, but you know, if you want to get me ruffled up, just start criticizing my wife. Don't say anything about her. You know. I told the story about Carolyn Thorpe. Carolyn just, when Carolyn and Sister Grant worked side by side, they couldn't find fault with each other. Not that you're supposed to, but if you ask who did this, the first thing that Carolyn said, you tell her something happened, she said, who did it? And I said, does it matter? Well, I told my wife this. I said, she'll anything, just anything. I said, it's okay with her. So I sat down and I was thinking, I made up a story. You know, every now and then I will tease people. So I walked in the office and I said, I got something to tell you. Oh, you cannot believe what happened yesterday. And I tell her this story about this woman. And Carolyn, she's eating this up. She's, oh, surely, ah. Oh. I said, oh, Brother Grant, oh. I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. I said, do you want me to tell you who it was? She says, well, because it's kind of out of character for me to say that. But she says, well, I guess if you want to. I said, it was my wife, Darlene. You know what she did? She just kind of stiffened up like that. She said, well, what was wrong with that? Little Cole walked in, and Sister Grant had put a real small Christmas tree up for the kids, and it's like 4 feet high, and it was on the floor. She thought it was too low, so she picks it up and puts it on the end table. While he was in daycare, he comes home. First thing he did, walks in and said, who moved the tree? I said, you don't like it? Nope, I don't like it. I didn't say anything. He said, who moved it? And I said, I didn't say who moved it. He said, who moved it? I said, you don't like it? Nope, I don't like it. Who did it? I said, Grandma, you know what he did? He just kind of wilted and turned around and looked at me and said, well, it looks okay to me. Love covers a multitude of sins. Isn't that right? Yeah. Yes, 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 yes. And the thing about it is, if you want a lasting relationship, you're going to have a good attitude toward your spouse. You're going to have to love your spouse. Because you won't stay young. You're going to get old. I don't know why I feel so. It's Christmas time. But a month ago, I went to see my doctor. And my doctor says, everything going okay? And I said, no. What's wrong? I said, well, you told me when I started taking these injections that I would grow shorter. Would you believe in the last year I have grown? I have shrunk an inch and a half. I'm serious with you, I have. Yeah. My feet's gotten bigger. The only thing I can think of, you kind of puddled up downstairs. I said, the thing about it is, my arms have always been, you know, pretty strong, you know. But I said, they're kind of getting weak underneath. And she looked and she says, John Grant, you are 74. And don't worry about it. You know, oh, my. Well, meanwhile, back on the ranch. Michael Jackson. In order to stay young, he said, he had custom built a large tube that he could roll himself into, close himself off just with his head sticking out. And he pumped oxygen because he felt that if he could pump oxygen directly into the skin, that everything would be okay. Unfortunately, you know, he abused his body, took too many prescription drugs that finally took his life. He died much sooner than I'm sure what God had planned for him. He didn't take care of his health. Can you think of the billions of dollars that are spent annually to keep the skin looking young? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying it. That seemed to, that's the way man has been since, or maybe I should say women have been since the beginning of time. Rubbing all kinds of herbs and spices and all of this. Why are you doing that? Keep the body young. Go down to Hot Spring, Arkansas. They got all of these sulfur spring fed little pools of water. And that stuff is so hot. And listen, if you have ever gone around where those sulfur wells are, they stink. What are you doing in there, lady? Makes me look young. I'm not exaggerating that, but I guess I could tell it without it being so funny. But in time, guess what? We all wrinkle. We all get spots on our skin. I've got spots on my skin that the dermatologist told me. He said, well, you probably in Texas, because I grew up in Texas, you probably spent a lot of time out in the heat. And those spots started undetected back when you were a teenager. So, you know, even as far back as the Spanish explorers of the Americas, Ponce de Leon, a Spaniard looked for the fountain of youth. You think about how much time and how much wear and tear on his body he imposed just to keep himself looking young, and he couldn't find it because it doesn't exist. So man's always wanted to be young and be rich. Coronado, look for the cities of gold. But you cannot live forever. Or can you? That's the name of my subject tonight. You cannot live forever. Or can you? And one of the saddest things that I've ever had to go through is to see my parents age and then leave this earth. I love my mom. I love my dad, my grandfather, my grandmother. I thank the Lord every day for them. Every day. My mother, she had a trait that regardless of what you ask her if you could do, she was going to say no. That was just my mother, really. Say, can I go over to Tommy's this afternoon? Nope. How come? Because I said no. Any of you parents ever said because I said so? So every time I'd come around, she'd tell me why I couldn't go to Tommy's. I said, well, look, I'm not asking to go. Oh, so you don't want to go? And I said, Mom, you said I couldn't go. Then I'd come back about 30 minutes later. She said, you going to Tommy's? Seriously. I'd say, you tell me I couldn't go. Well, you can go if you want to. That's just a trait she had. I don't care. You know. But I sure love my mom and dad. And to see such a hard-working person with such a strong personality go to the nursing home. She had dementia. You know, when she had dementia, she was such a sweetheart. I'm not saying she wasn't before, but I'm saying she laughed all the time. She told me, she said, oh, I love it here in this nursing home. She said, you cannot believe. She said, this bed that I'm in probably will outrun your Cadillac. That's what she's telling me now. She says, I said, how do you know you're cooped up in here? She said, I take this out every night out that window right there, she said. I said, where do you go? She said, to Carthage. Now, Carthage is a city about 40 miles east. I said, where do you go down there? She said, well, I know these people live down there, and they open their garage. So I go in the garage with my bed, and I sleep because I can sleep better there than here. She said, people come in here all night and wake you up and all that. She said, the only thing is I have to be back here before daylight. Because she said, that's when they really come in and check on you. I said, how do you get back? Back through that window. Now, she actually believed that. She believed that. And when I kissed her goodbye, she cried and cried. She said, John, please don't leave. You just got here. Well, I'd been there a week or two. But no, please don't, she said. Well, she found out, I'm going to leave. And then she said, now, don't be surprised if I don't pass you on that freeway. She said, this bed will run. You know, and I knew there's something going on in her mind that maybe would even get worse. It didn't really get much worse, but one thing about it, she was just so happy-go-lucky with everything, you know. But she did not want to die. She didn't. And it was another year or two, and I'd see her, you know. I think it'd be nice if you could reverse the aging process. Young people want to get old until they almost get there. And then they back out. It's like when they get to be 30-something, then they stop. They want to stop the aging process. But the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. You know. And for a child of God, death is no big deal. But we make a big deal out of it because we deal with people that are not saved. And if you're not saved, let me tell you something. Death is a horrible, nightmarish idea. Can you think of two people lying in the same room and they die about the same time and one goes to heaven and the other one goes to hell? You think about this. Eternity is forever. It's forever. It's forever and ever and ever. And yet to die and go be with Jesus, go be in his presence. You think about it. So it seems like man wants to live forever, but he doesn't want to do what he needs to do in order to live forever. But we know that you will die. One out of one dies. You will not be able to reverse the aging process. And you will make this appointment. It's appointed unto man. This is one appointment you will make. You may say, but I don't want to. You can't get out of it. So the best thing to do is get ready for it. I told kids in our Christian school for years, you'd see someone walking around pouting all the time. I don't like school. You don't? Why do you come? Because I have to. Well, look, I mean, if you have to do something and you don't like it, and you walk around with a bad attitude, aren't you hurting yourself? Aren't you punishing yourself? Why don't you just cowboy up, you know, back your ears up and make out like you have good sense? And why don't you enjoy school? Now, I don't know about you guys, but I enjoyed high school. How many of you guys enjoyed high school? Oh, yeah. Yeah, look at the guys, yes. How many of you girls enjoyed high school? Yeah. All of you, you know. But the best thing to do then is to get ready. How do you get ready for eternal life? How do you get ready for that appointment? Number one, you hear us preaching this all the time. You need to repent of your sins. You can do that right now, right in this Christmas season. You can do it right now. And after all, do you know that the things that you're repenting of are the very things that's going to kill you? You think about it. Man, I did some things that I shouldn't have done. I got scars on my body and everything. I think, why did I do this? I was told not to. But I did it anyway. You know, the thing about it is, it's like young people, if they're told not to, you know, they're going to break their neck and do it. Because it's just that you go through that period of time in which you're just, you have an aversion to being told what's right and wrong. You don't like it. Somebody's trying to run my life. Oh. When you think you're going to ever be able to run your life the way you want to run. When I get married, then you get married and the first thing that happens, you have a big fight. How many couples have I counseled with walk in my office and said, Pastor, we're tired of fighting. Now, you know I have this answer. Hello? You know, one of these days, I'm going to have my phone on and it's going to ring. And of all this deal I made over phones, I'm going to be so embarrassed. But I tell you what, if it rings, now you go along with this. If it rings, I'm going to pull it off. I'm going to answer it. And I'm going to say, hello, this is Pastor Grant. By the way, I'm preaching. If you want to hear the world's best sermon, just hang on for a while. And when I say that, I want you to stand up and, yes, yes. I don't have my phone on tonight. So the answer I give them when they say, we're tired of fighting. Well, what do you do? You fist fight or what? No, we just yell at each other. My answer is, what's simple? What is it? Shut up. Isn't that simple? Just shut up. No, what the deal is, you're tired of losing. or at least you can't win, and you want me to make one of you the winner so that I'm smarter than that. See? So I give them homework, and they don't like homework because you got to do the homework. So you repent. The second thing you do, you get baptized in Jesus' name. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, tonight is the night that you need to get baptized in Jesus' name. Tonight. And then you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I remember when I first received the Holy Ghost, I had never in my life. It took me a little longer than most people. But I sought the Holy Ghost, and I sought the Holy Ghost, and then I wouldn't, and then I did again. And one thing when I received the Holy Ghost was a lot easier than what I thought it was going to be. But I received the Holy Ghost. Never felt anything like that. I had a stomach ulcer, a bleeding stomach ulcer, and the Lord healed me. I went and ate barbecue chicken, two helpings of it. I'm serious. I think that's when I came up with that statement, every good chicken needs a preacher. How many of you like fried chicken? Oh, yeah. How many of you eat fried chicken? Fewer hands. You know what? I love fried chicken. I don't know why anybody would want to mess up a perfectly good chicken by doing something other than frying it. Do I eat much fried chicken? No, I don't. Now, I will say this. I will confess. I've had fried chicken three times this week. Really, I have. I just happened to think of that. I don't eat it that much, but I went over to Cracker Barrel and they had this home-style fried chicken. And what I did, I got two. I'm not going to advertise for them. Go try it yourself. I took one piece home, though, and I cut it in half. And I had one piece for breakfast. Can you believe that? One piece for breakfast, you know. Most people eat eggs for breakfast. Oh, I just go after the source, the chicken. Every now and then, my lunch buddy, Brother Thomas, he'll come in and say, Brother Grant, I got something I want to show you. I go down and open his door, and he's got Popeye chicken all over. I said, you going to eat some of this? He says, well, what do you think I bought it for? I said, didn't you get it for supper tonight? He said, oh, well, there's more where this came from. He said, oh, my. But when I received the Holy Ghost, God healed me. I could not eat anything other than cold mashed potatoes. I'm serious with you. Because my stomach burned so bad. Oh. I'd been smoking cigarettes and cigars and everything. And the doctor says, you got to stop smoking cigarettes because what's happening, you have a hole in your stomach. And would you believe that when you breathe in and out, that smoke actually goes down in your stomach and goes out that hole. And your whole diaphragm is inflamed. That's why it hurts in your fingers and down your arms and everything. Well, when I found out that's what was doing that, it wasn't hard to quit smoking. But God healed me. But it wasn't the healing the uplifting, the spirit that I had, the change of attitude, the hope that it gave me. Praise God, praise God. I went back to my work and I started witnessing to people. And I had people come to me and say, John, what's come over you? I said, well, I received the Holy Ghost. And of course, back then, the Holy Ghost was associated with holy rollers. One man said, so you became a holy roller. I said, well, I don't know what you call it, but I became it, I guess, because here's the thing. I said, I've never been happier in my life. I said, what I received at an altar and what God did by healing me and changing my attitude. And you realize how negative some of these factories can be and shops can be? You realize how negative people can be? You know, every now and then I just stop at some counter in a store or something. I said, how are you doing today? Not my best day. No, this is actually it's a bad day. What about you? I said, fantastic. That's what I always say. But, and they'll say, but what? It's going to get better. I tell you what, I'm trying to squeeze everything out of Christianity I can get out of it. I tell you what, if some of you make it to the holy city, that new atmosphere is going to shock the daylights out of you because you've been so adjusted. So accustomed, rather, to being out of sorts with people. You're going to see people hugging each other, loving each other, and praising God. And you're going to say, where's that person that I used to criticize? Really, squeeze everything you can out of Christianity. Because this Christian walk it's worth living for. It sure is. Praise God, praise God. And keep yourself yourself ready. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verse 13 through 18. Let's read that. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Oh, my. I go in the cemetery and you see families walking away and it's tough. The problem is that a lot of those people walk away and there's no hope. Just no hope at all. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, Felix Crowder, if you're around him very much, he talks about the first time he saw me. When Felix Crowder came, he was a fun-loving guy, but he went to another church across town. And he was very devout, along with all of his family, to that denomination. When he came up at our church, and I don't know who invited him, somebody from campus, he had a big afro, and he had a kind of a muscle tank top, and he had on shorts, Bermuda shorts, something like that. And we were playing volleyball. Came inside, and we gave a Bible study. So he came up to me and says, Pastor, it sounds like you don't believe that I'm saved. I said, did I say that? He said, did you say? I said, I never said you weren't saved. He said, oh, but I know you meant that. He said, so you don't think I'm saved? I said, Well, listen, you probably will beat me up in the rapture. He said, why? I said, because the Bible says the dead in Christ are going to rise first. I told him that, you know. We were laughing and joking with each other. And he laughed. He thought that was the funniest thing. I'm glad he did think it was funny, you know. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So once you're saved, you must stay alive in Jesus Christ. Yeah. You must stay alive in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Well, you know how it is, Brother Graham. If you live for God, nobody's going to like you. One lady told me that when she found out I was moving to Wisconsin. She says, like, I work on the job, and she said, they know that I'm apostolic and nobody likes me. Well, I wouldn't say that. I liked her, you know. I said, well, what's the deal? She said, oh, she said, they got stories, rumors going and all this all the time, she says. So when she finally walked away, I asked my mother, I said, who is this lady? She go to your church? Oh, yeah. Yeah, she comes all the time. Oh. I said, do people really not like her or what? She said, oh, she's just that way. You know. Oh. I said, you know, Mom, the devil's beating up on her. And if I were the devil, I'd do the same. I meant, you're just playing dead for the devil. Everybody beats up on me. Poor little old you. Do you have power in the Holy Ghost in your system? Are you alive with Jesus Christ? And by the way, it's all right to brag on somebody that's not saved when they're doing things that's nice. Yeah. They got a new dress on, tell them. You got a beautiful dress on. If their hair is fixed different and it's pretty, tell them it's okay. You know? Why not? Make them feel good about themselves. Because the best thing you can do is to make everybody around you look as good as you possibly can to them and to others. Praise God. Form a habit of, how long have I been going? I've been going a long time, haven't I? Brother Dave Shroud gets up and goes and opens the door. Brother Shroud, I'm going to finish here. Promise me. Oh, my. Alive and remain. Remain in the apostolic doctrine. Yes. This is no time, absolutely no time, for us to question the apostolic doctrine. Because when you read the Bible, you won't question it. You start questioning when you're not in the Bible. That's when you question it. I believe it all. All of it. You've heard me say, from Genesis to maps, I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible to be the unadulterated word of God. Now, Paul had this to say, however. He said, if in this life only. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 19 through 22. And I won't read all of that. He said, if I only have hope in this life, I'd be above all men most miserable. But you see, Jesus Christ gave you hope here and in eternity. Praise God. And you know the thing about it, it's so beautiful. Just like this interpretation came tonight and the scripture that I read so beautiful, you're going to be one of those that's standing there without spot. That whatever the aging process did to your body, once you've been resurrected, it's going to be taken away. I'd like for you to stand with me at this time, if you would. Paul says in Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ Jesus, and to die is gain." Jesus takes the fear of death from you. If you're ready to go, death is no big deal. So you can't live forever? Not in this robe, not in this flesh. But you can live forever. And when you live forever, Dottie Rambo wrote a song, says, "I've never been this homesick before." And verse 2 of that, she says, when she looked around, she says, no one was old or feeble anymore. It's going to be great to be in the presence of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I love you, God. Oh, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Lord, I worship you, God. I praise you, God. God, I want to be in your presence forever, Lord. Oh, God, I want to be with all these saints on heaven's shore, Lord. When the trumpet blows, Lord, we all want to go up to meet you in the air together, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Let's worship as our praise singers sing. Oh, God.